Today I am going to deal with the interpersonal relationship which is mentioned in this book. You know, every individual desires to have success in the life. There are very various reasons or factors that leads to success of life. Nobody wants to have any failures. As somebody rightly said, a successful man has two things on his lips. One is a smile and second is silent. Smile to solve the problem. Silence to avoid the problem. If you have these two things, really, we will be successful in many ways. For a successful things, we need to have good relationships. If we don't have a proper relationships, we will not be able to succeed in our life. This book is around 85 verses are there. Many characters are referred in this book. Some are very successful, some are failed. And there are reasons for the success and the failure of the individuals mentioned in this story. Out of 85 verses of this book, 50 verses is a conversation between two individuals or somebody who is talking. That shows that it is a book that deals with the relationship. Ruth, the word Ruth is the name, we know the Moabite woman who came there in Bethlehem. Her name is Ruth. The word Ruth means friendship. That also very clearly suggests that this book is dealing with a relationship. Ruth means friendship. So, if you closely observe this book, I was just studied it in detail. These days I am again going into that in detail. So I thought of sharing with that this one. Because in the next month's harvest times I am planning to write on the Ruth, book of Ruth. That's why I thought of doing it, revising the whole this thing again. So, seven relationships are mentioned here in this book. Seven relationships. Number one, a relationship of Elimelech with God, or the family of Elimelech with God. That is one of the most important relationships every individual, every family should have. A relationship with God. Secondly, Naomi, maybe after 10 years, she understood their failure of the family. And she wanted to restore the relationship, broken relationship with God. Restoration of the relationship with God, Naomi. The third thing we see, another relationship, very, very important relationship. A relationship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Normally, in an Indian background, we know that is always results in conflict. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law conflicts are common. But here is a beautiful example of a wonderful relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. The fourth relationship here we see is the relationship between employer and employee. The manager and the people, those who are working under him. Employer and employee relationship. Fifth relationship we see in this book is the Boaz, the man of the main character, hero of this entire event, his relationship with his relatives, blood relatives, we see there. A relationship between the blood relatives. That is another topic that is discussed in this book. The sixth one, the relationship between grandmother or grandparents and grandchildren. Here we see the grandmother and the grandchild. Chapter 4, verse 15, we read about that. This is the sixth relationship. Finally, seventh one is the relationship between the neighbors around. We always stay in the midst of the people. We have neighbors. So, what is our relationship with the neighbors? And this book is dealing with that relationship. So, we have around seven relationships mentioned in this book. Interpersonal relationship, as I told you, is very, very important for the success of the life. And here, some of them were succeeded, and some of the characters mentioned here, they failed because their relationship was not proper. And so many other factors also was involved in that. So let us look into each of these one from this book of Ruth. Seven relationship, as I told you. Number one, relationship with God. Secondly, a restoration of the lost relationship with God. Thirdly, relationship with the in-laws. Fourthly, the relationship between the employee and employer, that is, relationship in the workplace. Fifth one, the relationship with our blood relatives, siblings and relatives. Sixth one, the relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. And seventh one, relationship between our neighbors. Now, okay, let us look into each of this one briefly, not in detail. First of all, Elimelech's relationship. We read in the first verses about this few verses which we read. We read the description of a family there. First of all, the description of the events, what has happened there is described. The time is mentioned, the period in which it happened, during the time of judges. When the judges were ruled at that time, this event happened. And we see that the place where it is happened is also mentioned, that is in Bethlehem. And we see there was a family in that Bethlehem. And his name is mentioned, the head of the family. His name is Elimelech, as we know. The wife is Naomi. And they had two children, Mahlon and Chilion. It's a wonderful family, no doubt about it. They were actually from Bethlehem, Jephrah. The Bethlehem, as we know that, means the house of bread. In the house of bread, one day it so happened that there was no bread. It's surprising, isn't it? There was a famine. It's a house of bread. But now what happened? Famine came in the land. God told them that blessing will come to you. And if you obey me, the blessing will come. In the Deuteronomy it is mentioned there. And if you disobey me and go after other gods, I will send famine. So that shows that this famine came not an accidental thing. The people, the relationship between God and the people of that land was not proper, diminished. They were not that much attached to God. That is the reason why the famine came. So here we see the family, Elimelech. Elimelech, the name means, the God is my king. The Lord is my king. God is my king. A good name is that God is my king. I think when the parents named him, we understand the parents were God-fearing family. They had a God-fearing attitude. That is why they named their son as Elimelech. God is my king. And we see that he is called here in this verse as we read. In verse 2 say that he was called as Ephrathites. Ephrathah is another name of Bethlehem. The word which is used suggests that they were from traditionally, not their sojourners, traditionally they were living in Bethlehem, suggesting that they were an aristocratic family, living there for a long time. And he was brought up in a God-fearing family. His wife's name is Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. She is also probably from the same God-fearing family. They got married. Definitely all might have wished them the best married, happy married life and all these things. But after the marriage, they realized the problems are coming in. Their relationship between God and themselves has not improved or degenerated, diminished. And we don't know what is the real problem with that family. It is not the famine was not the only problem. Famine came, that's all. That is an excuse, that's all. They were rich family. It's not an ordinary poor family. She herself says when there was a famine, we read that when there was a famine, they went to Moab. And when she came back, Naomi says that I went full and came empty. That means they were rich even though there was famine. It was not the famine that made them to go from the place. It is not that. It is the relationship they had with God was the reason for them to go away from the presence of God. They decided, fed up with all these things. I don't want to go for the meeting. I don't want to go for the worship meeting. I will go away from that. See, they don't want to have any relationship with God and the God's people. What was the reason? We don't know. But the name of the children indicates they were frustrated and they were very much upset with the life. Distressed and frustrated in the life. When the elder son was born, they named him as, what is the name? Mahlon. Mahlon means sick. There's a meaning. I don't know how the parents can give us such a name. Sick. Probably he was always falling sick. So, because of that, they might have named him as Mahlon. Mahlon is the only book which speaks about that such a name. It is not a biblical name in the pattern of the Jewish pattern. Normally, they name according to the God's name. Elimelech, like that. That is a name normally given. But here is a name has come called Mahlon, sick. And they got the second child. What is the name they are given? Chilion. Mahlon and Chilion. Chilion means very sick. Imagine. One is sick. Other one is very sick. They are fed up with the life. That's the reason. They are frustrated. They may be wondering about the children. How children are always falling sick. So they named the children like, so the naming of the children very clearly indicates that family was highly frustrated and they were distressed. Probably because of the sickness of the children. Maybe because of some financial crisis. Of course they were rich, but again they had some problem because of that, we don't know. So we see that their relationship with God was diminished, was not proper. All the failure of that family is that their relationship with God has gone. If our relationship with individual relationship we should have, not only that, as a family we should relate ourselves with God. What is the relationship of our family with God? If it is successful, the life will be successful. Now Elimelech and Naomi, they decided it's better. We will go from here. We don't want to see anyone here. They have no interest in meeting God's people. That's what it indicates. They went to Moab. How many years they stayed? We see that they stayed there for 10 years they stayed. It is only 30 miles, you know. It's not that far away, 300, 400 miles or something. 30, 34 miles. But they remained there for 10 years. They never thought of coming back, at least one for a vacation. No. And not only that, they married the Moabites, the children married the Moabites' girls. That shows very clearly that they are not at all interested in the things of God. Because in the law it is mentioned that if you marry a Moabite children, person, lady, and the children who are born in that family cannot enter in the God's house even for 10 generations. They knew this very well. If I have a grandchild, he cannot enter in the house of God. So knowingly, they decided to send their children in marriage with the Moabite girls. So we see the failure of that family is the failure of their relationship with God. I don't want to elaborate. You know, you can check yourself. Look around you. Many of the families are broken down. Many of the families are failed, miserably failed. Not for any other reason, only one reason. The family as a whole, their relationship with God is broken. If, as a family, if your relationship with God is broken, the family is not going to have success. I always recommend the families, create a spiritual atmosphere in the family. If that spiritual atmosphere, God-fearing atmosphere is not there, definitely families are going to fail. So we see here, Elimelech's family's failure is that their relationship with God was broken. This name, Mahlon and Chilion, are normally Canaanites' name. The Canaanites, they used to give such type of name. Instead of selecting the name from the biblical names, they selected the Canaanite. Of course, nowadays the naming the children is a big headache, isn't it? The parents, they know that. They try their level best to give the best unique name to their children. I don't know they are selected like that, unique name, because nobody is having in Bethlehem such a name. Maybe, I don't know. But after selecting all that, the children are unsatisfied after they're growing, what type of name has given. That is what they say that. But here, they selected the name belonging to the other gods. That means they have left the living God and they went after the other gods. Canaanite gods. Canaanite people. That's why they felt to go back to Moab. So we have to examine our own families, how our family is related to the gods, relationship with God. Secondly, we see the relationship of Naomi. She is restored back this broken relationship with God. We read that she thought of coming back. When she heard that the God has visited his people. Verse 6 you read? Yeah. God has visited his people in giving them. She heard about the God's visitation. Maybe that made her to think about how they failed and probably they might have come back. They thought of going back. Is it the prosperity or real? Sometimes people wonder whether Naomi had a real repentance. We are not sure. Anyhow, she made one decision very rightly. She lost her husband. She lost both her children. At that time, she had decided to come back. But finally, in the time she heard that the prosperity has come there. There's a good harvest in Bethlehem. Food is available in plenty in Bethlehem. She said, it's better. Now I will go back to my place, my town. So she rose up along with her daughter-in-laws. And we know that daughter-in-laws, they went forth. After some time, or in the beginning, we don't know. See, she was insisting that the daughter-in-law should not follow. So many reasons, she said. She said, you go to your mother's house and get married and live happily there. Please don't come with. We know what happened later on. One of the daughter-in-law said, okay, mommy, I will not come. Eh? And she kissed. Her name is Orpah. And she returned back to her native place. Second one, Ruth. She was so adamant. She was so determined. It's better to say determined. That I will not turn back. And we see that she makes a definite statement there that I will come with you and I will join with you. Now, why she insisted these girls to go back? That's the question. There are so many ways people interpret about it. I am not sure whether they're right or not. Probably she wants to hide her sin. If this girl comes, then everybody will come to know that their sons got married a Moabite girls. So she doesn't want probably to know the Bethlehemite people in Bethlehem that her sons married the Moabite women. To avoid that, she may be telling that you go back. When I reach there, they will ask, who is this girl? Then I have to explain everything. Then they will come to know that my children got married to Moabite women. Maybe that is one of the reasons. We are not sure. Anyhow, she decided to follow. She decided to come back, whatever may be the situation. And she thought of restoring back her relationship with God and the God's people. And we see that all the blessings that came upon that family, again, we see that it is because of this decision. A backslider has to come back to God and the relationship should be restored. Now, the third relationship is the most important relationship. And this book is dealing with that relationship mainly. That is, in-laws relationship. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationship. There are so many myths are there and they say that mother-in-law and daughter-in-law cannot get along with each other. A lot of problems are there. Of course, there are so many problems are there. Psychological problems are basically the reasons why. But we see here that that is only a myth that they cannot get till here. Wonderful relationship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. We look into each of that character. What are the, what is, how they're related to each other, mother-in-law. See, the first of all, you notice that the Naomi was a caring mother. She was caring Ruth very well. Verse, chapter 3, verse 1, you please read there. Yeah. My daughter, shall I not seek rest? What is your translation? It's security, right? Yeah. Rest for thee, that it may be well with thee. I want your welfare. A mother-in-law always thinking about the welfare of the daughter-in-law. She's concerned about her daughter. This is the one quality we see that. This is what the success of the relationship between the in-laws. Welfare of each other, they were thinking. Second, we think that she was a counseling mother, advising mother. Teaching her daughter-in-law valuable lessons. Of course, here we see about in verse 2, we see one of the things I mentioned there. Verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2. Now, you know, while traveling back about 30, 35 kilometers, miles, they were traveling. It's a long distance for this elderly lady and they are together. They are traveling back. On the way, they might have talked about so many things, definitely, no doubt about it. One of the topic they might have taught definitely is this one, because the background shows like that. They said, Mummy, she might have asked, Mummy, when we go there, what is the provision for us? How we will survive? What are the means of our living? That definitely she might have asked. And we know that they're coming in a harvest time. We read that she heard that God visited there, and that is the beginning of the barley harvest. So the barley harvest, the Passover takes place at that time. And that is the beginning of the harvest time. So next 4 months, there is a harvest time. So she might have told her daughter, daughter, don't worry about it. Because of God, Jehovah has made provision for the poor people to live in the land. If a person is poor, he can go to the field and collect the gleanings are there. He can collect the remains there from the field and he can survive comfortably. So you don't worry about that. God's provision is there about the gleaning process, it was explained in the book of Deuteronomy. That means when a person is harvesting, he should leave some portion for the poor and needy people. So the poor and needy people will come and collect that and they will survive. So, my daughter, you do one thing. When we reach their home, we don't have anything to cook. We don't have anything to live. So you do one thing. You go to a field, any field you can go, and you can collect the grains from there, and we can live. Definitely, she might have taught her daughter-in-law the provisions of God. How God's provisions are available. We read that, as soon as she reached home, immediately she went to the field. That shows that these lessons were taught her during that trip. So we see a mother-in-law who is teaching her daughter-in-law. Secondly, we see the other thing she might have taught about, that the kinsman redeemer, the relationship, a redeemer. In the Old Testament, we know that she might have taught how we will have the land, we lost everything, what will happen, everything. So she might have told her that according to the God's provision, there is a provision for a kinsman redeemer. He should redeem our lost property and he should give it back. So we will be restored back by a redeemer, the kinsman redeemer. So the two things that she might have counseled her or advised her, the mother-in-law, that is, one, God's provision for daily living. Secondly, God's way of redemption, that is, regarding the kinsman redeemer. Not only that, she asked her to wait upon the Lord. We see that she was a waiting lady. She said, you just wait. And see that the Lord will work everything. Verse 20, chapter 3, verse 18. Wait, my daughter. Don't be hurry. Waiting upon the Lord. That is why. Wait upon the Lord. That man will not settle unless he finds a solution for the problem. So, you wait upon the Lord. We see that how many months she stayed with the mother-in-law is mentioned. Verse 20, chapter 2, verse 23. There we see that around 4 months, 3 to 4 months, she was with the mother-in-law. So, she was waiting for the God's dealing. So, the mother-in-law told her, you wait upon the Lord. Those who are wait upon the Lord will be strengthened like the eagle. That's what we see that. Sometimes our failure is that we fail to wait upon the Lord. If we wait upon the Lord, Lord will do everything at his time. So we see the second character of this mother-in-law. First one, we saw that she is a caring mother. Second one, we saw that she is a counseling mother. We saw the three counseling she has done. God's provisions of gleanings. God's way of kinsman redeemer. And also waiting upon the Lord. So, her daughter-in-law listened to all these things and understood this. Secondly, the Ruth's relationship with the mother-in-law, that is also very important. Ruth is a very wonderful woman. We know that. The Bible describes her wonderful. Many women about, we read Rachel or Rebecca or Sarah and all, their beauty is also elaborated, described. How beautiful they were. But it is surprising to note that no beauty of Ruth is mentioned. Whether she was beautiful or not, we have no idea. But Bible is not describing her beauty. But Bible describing her inner beauty. The inner beauty is more important than the external beauty. External beauty is not that important. It can fade away anytime. But the inner beauty is more important. That is what Peter also suggesting. Not the external things that we beautify. We should be beautified. That inside, that is the beauty the woman should have. So I do believe Ruth was probably she was not outside physically beautiful, but she was inside her heart, she was beautiful. Number one quality of this Ruth is that she was a hard-working woman. Chapter 2 verse 2. Chapter 2 verse 2 and 7, you look at that. Chapter 2 verse 2. Yeah. She heard about the gleaning. Mother, I told you, on the way they were talking about that. As soon as she reached Bethlehem, she said, I will go for gleaning. She did not say, no, I will take rest here, just like that. After some time, I will go. No, like that. Immediately, she decided to go. Verse 7, you see, can they look at that? Verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. Yeah, she has been sitting in the house for a little while. Only for a short time she sat there. She didn't take much rest, moving for 30, 35 miles traveling, and she remained there only for a short period. And she went into the field to glean, to collect the food for their needs. That shows that she was a hard-working woman. One of the important qualities needed for a girl is that she should be hard-working. We read the Proverbs chapter 31 about the virtuous woman. At what time she gets up? By 9 o'clock? Well, very clearly says she gets up before the sun rises. Early morning she gets up. Let me tell you, that is the success of a family. The wife or the woman of the home should get up early morning. Bible says like that. You know, Abraham sent his servant, Eliezer probably, to find a girl for his son, Isaac. He said, he made a decision. Yesterday I was reading that passage. He made a decision, and we see that the camels were there. There is mentioned that even camels, the camels were kneeling down near that well. I think they were also praying, I don't know. He was praying, even the camels were praying. They were knelt down there. What is the prayer? The God should lead in proper way to get a girl. He made a decision that I will ask water. If the girl gives me water, fine. Not only water to me, she should give water to my camels. If such an offer is there, that means that is the girl whom God decided to have as a wife for my master's son. It's a very tough decision. It's not an easy thing. Now he asked water. How many camels were there? 10 camels, not one camel. 10 camels are there. And he had water. And immediately Rebecca said that, I don't mind to give water to your camel. It was surprising. To give water to camel is a test whether she's hardworking or not. You know, to give water to camel is not like one bisleri bottle or two bisleri bottle. It is estimated that one camel drinks about 135 liters of water. Can you imagine? 135 liters of water camel drinks. You can imagine how much water she might have drawn. How much water? 1,350 liters of water. It's a test for her to see whether this girl is a hardworking or not. It's very clear that Rebecca was found to be a hardworking. Here is a Ruth is another example. She was a hardworking. The success is that. Second we see about her, she was a caring daughter. Look at that verse 18, chapter 2 verse 18. Yeah. You know, when she was in the field, something was given to her to eat by Boaz. And she ate that, past grains were given to her. We see in verse 14, just to see, roasted grain. Yeah, some left. He gave her a roasted grain, past grain. In our language, we see the popcorns. Of course, the popcorns weren't given to her. And she ate And she was satisfied and left something behind. For why she left it? You look at the reason is mentioned. Verse 18. Yeah. To her, what she had reserved after she was satisfied. Here he said, she reserved. She kept some of this parched grain with her. When she was eating, she was thinking about her mother-in-law. Oh, mommy did not have anything. Nothing is there at home. Nothing is there to cook. So I should keep something for my mommy. What a concern she had, isn't it? I have seen some mothers, they go sometimes for some parties or maybe some marriage and children may not be following them. So immediately mama, while eating, they keep something for the packet separately so that at home they can give to the children. So that is the heart of a mother, we see that. Same way, this Ruth kept something behind so that she should give to her mommy. So caring daughter. She is a caring daughter. Well, chapter 3 verse 5 we read, she was an obedient daughter. Yeah, I will do. She was an obedient daughter. That is the third thing. Well, chapter 4 verse 15, she is a loving daughter. 4:15. She loves you and better than 7 sons. What a wonderful daughter-in-law you God has given to you. Neighbors are telling. That is what we read here. So, she was a loving daughter-in-law. Finally, chapter 2 verse 19 to 22. She was a talking daughter-in-law. At home, she was talking with the mother-in-law. 19 to 22, we read that. See, she came from the field. She said, oh, mommy, I'm tired. I don't have time to talk. So I'm going to take rest. That's not what she said. Whatever happened in the field, she was narrating to her mother. The relationship can be built up by talking. If we are not talking, the relationship cannot be built up. So, the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationship was built up because of they were talking each other. See, wonderful relationship. So, we cannot say that mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, we should rename that phrase. We could say that they are mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Ruth was a daughter-in-law. She loved her mother very much. And Naomi was not just a mother-in-law, she was a mother-in-law. How the relationship is established in our families, that is very important. There should not be any conflict. There should be an harmonious relationship between the in-laws. That is mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. That should be the relationship. Of course, my time is up. I think if God permits, we'll take it some other time. The relationships, other relationships are there. The employee-employer relationship, and that is what the next one, fourth one, and fifth one is the relationship between the blood relatives, and the sixth one is the relationship between grandfather and grandchildren, grandmother and the grandchild. Finally, the relationship with the neighbors. I think there's no time to completely explain. So I will take up some other time this thing. So we have seen the three relationships here. One, the Elimelech's and family's relationship with God. It was a failure. They suffered a lot for that reason. Many of the families, let me tell you, even on our own assembly, the sufferings are there because the relationship with God is not proper. Probably I may talk openly, people may get upset about it. That's a fact. Just to think about our own families, whether our relationship with God is all right or some of the families I tried to correct it. Still there's no correcting. Correction is not there. The reason the relationship with God is not all right. And it's coming worse to worse is going on. Here also same thing. When after the condition was very, very bad, we see that. Elimelech's family. That should not happen to our families. Second thing we saw, but Naomi got repented. I believe that she repented. She decided to come back anyhow. She decided to have fellowship with the people of God. If you cannot, relationship God is broken, your relationship with the fellow believers also goes. It's a vertical and a horizontal relationship is there. Our Father in heaven, our Father, if we have a relationship with God, then we can say our. That means we have a horizontal relationship that we should have. We should maintain. See here, Naomi coming back and restoring back the relationship. Thirdly, we saw the relationship of the in-laws or mother-in-law and mother-in-daughter. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, the relationship. These are the things that we have to learn from this relationship. As I told you in the beginning, the success of the life is depends upon our relationships, various relationships. We have considered three relationships, relationship with God, and backslider should come back, and restoration of the relationship. Thirdly, the relationship with the in-laws. May God bless this verse to our hearts.